Good to see everyone this morning. Mark taught a few weeks while I was out. Thank him for that. And he said you got in chapter 7, or starting chapter 7, I guess. I'd like to have a review. We're about halfway through this book. I think there's 12 chapters. And let's go back and we'll have a little review over these chapters and then see how far we get. We're in no big hurry. Before we do, let's go to God in prayer. Our dear God, Father which art in heaven, thank you so much for another day, a beautiful morning. Look forward to Lord's Day to be able to be with other Christians and study and glorify your name, be edified. Help us, God, to teach the truth and learn and study at home, and just we pray we'll try to learn all we can of your word of truth and live it, not just know it but live it. God, thank you for Jesus. Forgive us for our sins. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Okay, we'll just go back chapter 1 of Daniel a little bit. There's a lot in this book, and chapter 7's got a lot of symbols, and just start 7 there. We're going to turn the page a little bit and we're going to see Daniel has a dream. Remember the last few chapters, the kings had dreams, didn't they? Daniel's got a dream now and he's surprised by it and he's concerned about it. And there's so many things symbolic there, but it's all true. But the whole thing of Daniel is to know that God is in control, and also he's brought forth a kingdom. All these kingdoms is going to be destroyed, and they're powerful, but the one God, Jesus, built, the church, is going to last forever. That's the whole thing in Daniel to keep in mind. Okay, chapter 1 of Daniel. Just go back a few little bit there. Can anyone tell me about chapter 1? Just a little bit about it. What was happening there? We'll have a little review over these 6 chapters. You remember it was third year. If you look in chapter 1 of Daniel, chapter 1, the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, he went to Jerusalem, was being destroyed, and he brought some of God made the Jehoiakim in his hand, so he brought back some of the things from the house of God, the vessels, and they worshiped materials and gold and stuff. But let's look there, and he wanted people to bow down to him. If you look in verse 8, but Daniel, what did he do? He made a decision in his heart, chapter 8 or 1 of Daniel, verse 8. Daniel made the purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of king's meat. Giving, we're today, Christians are not supposed to give thanks to the idols and things that's not of God. And this is exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did. He worshiped idols. He was an idol worshiper. But he had a lot of power. He was a king. You know, God used these men, powerful men, to run the world in a way that he had his work planned out. But at the same time, they were wicked kings. But Daniel purposed in his heart, verse 8, that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, the wine he drank, and praying to idols and all these things. What did God do in verse 9? God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel had favor with the leaders under the king, and we know that Daniel would not eat the idol, or pray to idols and all these. And he also wanted to eat of his own things, and they became very good and good looking and things, because they ate vegetables and water, drunk water and all these things. Verse 10, I beseech thee 10 days and let them give us pulse, vegetables to eat and water to drink. You remember those? Okay. Let's look over verse 20 and 21. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. That was Daniel and his three friends. Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. That's a little bit about chapter 1. Chapter 2, we'll go over a little bit of it. Chapter 2. Chapter 2. Now this is the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember he took place of the other one? Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. You remember? What, can you remember what he dreamed? Anyone have any idea? Chapter 2.
He dreamed about them destroying the kingdom.
Okay. He didn't know what it was, did he? But he wanted someone to interpret it, didn't he? Who interpreted it? Did the wise men interpret it, or did all these astrologers or sorcerers, did they do it? Who did? Okay, Daniel. But Daniel didn't take credit. He gave God credit. God was the one that gave Daniel the wisdom. Okay? Go over here. And of course, none of them could answer his prayer of what he did, but Daniel. Okay, that's a little bit of 2. Let's go to 3. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's image of gold. Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 1, chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the great king at that time, made an image of gold, whose breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dur, in the province of Babylon. Okay. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. This is a big thing, wasn't it? A big statue. And look at all this. Counselors, sheriffs, all those he wanted to come. And let's look at verse 3. Princes, governors, judges, treasurers, what did they do? Gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar he set up. What are we going to see here? We're going to see some God-fearing men. They was not going to bow down. And if you look at verse 7 it says, or verse 6, whosoever falleth not down and worship shall same hour be cast in the midst of burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, languages, this is a big thing, church. This is a lot of people at that time. They fell down and worshiped the golden image Nebuchadnezzar, the king, set up. It would be kind of a scary moment if you had all the people there and this big king said, if you don't do it, you're going to be cast in a fiery furnace. Okay? Let's look at verse 11. Would someone read that, please? Verse 11, chapter 3 of Daniel.
And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast.
be a scary thing, wouldn't it? Either you do this and go against God. We can't do that, can we? If we give in to false things and deny God as our Lord, as our Savior, He'll deny us. We got to remember those things. Right. That's referring to that, I think, don't you? Fiery furnace. What did they tell him, though? King, verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set up with the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Is that what God would want us to do? Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, he was mad, fury. He commanded to bring them in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We all know that story. Then they brought these men before the king. Very important, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will go and do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image I have set up? Remember, this king had a lot of power. And he goes on, 15, if you do not hear all the music instruments, whatever it is here. Verse 16. Someone read that, please. Verse 16, chapter 3. What's he saying?
He's saying that they're not going to bow down.
Okay. Actually, they got a little, we don't care, Nebuchadnezzar, about what you're saying. I'm sure they was concerned. They was probably a little scared too, but they're human. But at the same time, they wasn't crying out to him or nothing. Look over there, Dave read 16. 17, very important. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. If God we serve, that's the wonderful true God above, we serve, can deliver us or will out of this fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now, but if he don't, verse 18, but if it not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's pretty. They had so much faith in God, they knew God would take care of them. But if they did die, they knew they was in God's hands. Still a scary thought, isn't it? They wasn't going to give in. Then verse 19, of course, he was very angry at these people and had them thrown in the fire furnace. And that fire furnace, so hot, it even destroyed the people, men that threw them in. And then verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of burning fiery furnace. They were in there, wasn't they? They went in. The king was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men in this midst of the fire? They answered and said, yes, unto the king, true, O king. Well, he answered and said, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire like the Son of God. So God took care of these men, didn't he? That's when our faith and our belief in God does, isn't it? Faith and obedience is what we're learning on Providence on Wednesday night. We've got to have faith and also obedience. One without the other just won't work. Okay, so we know that they were not hurt. Let's look at 4, please. Chapter 4. There's a lot we could keep in these, but we're We'll just save a little time. We'll just kind of glance over these. Once you remember, I hope you get something out of Daniel, because it's a good book. It's not easy. A lot of symbolic and a lot of the way God used things, but it's a good book. Chapter 4, we'll look at a few verses in this. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Now, Nebuchadnezzar's got a different attitude at this time. But you know, some of these kings had a good attitude after a little bit. They went right back and then, just like Pharaoh, didn't he? Okay. He said, I thought it good, verse 2, chapter 4. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has brought work toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. This is the king talking now. He's got a different attitude. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now he's going to have a dream. Remember, he has a dream. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourished in my palace. Means he had everything he needed. He said, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and visions of my heart troubled me. And he made a decree in verse 6 to bring in all the wise men and all the sorcerers and all those supposed to be wise, Chaldeans, and wanted them to show him the dream. They could not. But we see that, of course, Daniel goes to God in prayer and tells him the dream, interpretation of it. And you remember, Nebuchadnezzar, of course, became like a wild beast, didn't he? Nails, his fingernails grew and hair grew, and he became like a wild beast for a long time because he did not humble himself before God. God was punishing him and knew, making know that God was over all. And just look at verse 37, what Nebuchadnezzar says here of chapter 4. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. What's he mean when he says that all that walk in pride? What's he saying there? Did Nebuchadnezzar walk in pride? His pride was too high. He thought he was great. He thought he'd take care. He thought he would, all the power he had and what he accomplished come from him. He did it all. But God was the one that gave him all these things. But God isn't the one that made him idol worshiper. He made that decision. But he says his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride like he did, he's able to humble or abase, come down. And Nebuchadnezzar did that at that time. And he comments on those. Just wanted to get a little review here. Something to remember Daniel, book of Daniel in the future. Chapter 5. Now we're turning the pages to Belshazzar. The king made great feasts to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine. While he tasted the wine, verse 2, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and the princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Here we have another one. Worshiping gold and all those things. Then they brought the golden vessels, verse 3, that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and concubines drank them. They drank wine, verse 4, praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass and iron, wood and stone. You know, we might not have gold cups and all that, but we can get ourselves in the habit of putting other things before God, can't we? Whatever that is, it's just as bad as this. If we put things before God that we shouldn't, we need to be careful of those things. God comes first in serving God and worshiping God, not our jobs, not sports, whatever it is. If we keep them in, you know, nothing wrong with those things if we don't never put them before God. They drank wine, praised gods of gold, silver, brass, wood, and stone. Then remember, came forth, verse 5, fingers of man's hand wrote over against the candlestick and plaster of the wall, and then all the handwriting on the wall. We won't go in all that, but I think Mark taught on some of that probably. And you have any comments on those, Mark? Anything?
King kept going through and praising out the gods of the gold and the silver and of the iron and the wood and stone. And of course, he talked about the finger, about the man's handwriting, what he's done.
Like I say, there's a lot in this book, and you have to study it and have some commentaries, and we're all not going to know everything, and I'm sure commentaries, they don't know it all either, but gives us an idea that God's in control. He set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. That's what the whole book Daniel's about. That's the church. And all these kingdoms are going to be destroyed, and kings are not over God. And God used some of these wicked kings to bring forth everything that he wanted accomplished. But they still could repent and turn to God if they wanted to. Okay. Chapter 6. Then we'll get starting 7 a little bit. Chapter 6. Okay, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom, verse 1, chapter 6, 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three present, who Daniel was first, the prince might have account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents, princes, because what? An excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. There we have Daniel becoming powerful over the whole realm under the king. Daniel was a very important man. Okay, we won't go over all that, but...
Well, we see in this chapter where Daniel was second, you know, he was second to the king. I know you haven't touched on it, but I know later in this chapter we see how people got the king to sign an order that, you know, no prayers were going to be done.
Yeah.
Well, they knew Daniel did that.
Yeah.
Daniel didn't stop doing it either.
Right.
I mean, he went right up and he prayed 3 times a day. Yep. He did it right in plain view of doing it in a window where everyone could see that he was got put back to the king, and the king did have to act. And we learn later in this chapter what he had to do with Daniel, the consequences. Also, we learn from that consequence, too, that God never left Daniel alone. You know, Daniel had, you know, God's hand, and God protected him.
Yep.
From the lion. You know, he sealed the mouth of the lions in this chapter.
Yep.
There was no harm to him.
Yep. Now here we see what? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Four men out of all these, the king and all these people worship with the king. Got four men here was faithful to God, and they didn't give in to this king. Their lives was on the line. Daniel was going to be thrown into the lion's den, the other three in the fiery furnace. They still wouldn't give in to it. How much faith, how strong a faith they had. And like Mark said, Daniel prayed three times just so they could see him. He wasn't hiding. He wasn't ashamed of God. And then he was thrown into the lions. And he wasn't hurt. How many lions there was, I don't know, but the lion is a powerful animal, isn't he? They could just crush you with their teeth and claws, but he wasn't hurt.
Well, we see that, you know, Daniel wasn't harmed at all with the lions that were there. But also, too, we see later, the ones that was the accusers, they, you know, the person there and his family, they just didn't stop it to him. They took his whole family.
Yeah. Children and all.
Children and all. And
yeah. Yeah.
For a long part.
Right.
So that told you how hungry these lions were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it shows how wicked the people was, the leaders. Mm-hmm. Little kids thrown in to be ate up by lions. How ruthless could you get? Well, I figure all the wickedness and all those type of things, God will bring in judgment, and these people will be, if they don't repent, they're going to be truly sorry for what they've done and be too late. Okay, chapter 7, we'll just read a few verses, and we'll start 7 next week, but I thought it was kind of important to have a little review over the half of the Daniel. Chapter 7. Now, Belshazzar was the king of Babylon at this time. In the first year, Daniel had a dream. Here we are. Daniel's having a dream now. Kind of switch the pages here. Daniel's having a dream. And he was surprised about it. But he says, Daniel had a dream and visions, verse 1, of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told to some of the matters. He told it all of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove up on the great sea. Four winds, four directions. We have four directions. North, south, east, west. The four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea. We're going to see four beasts diverse one from another. And we're going to see here, we'll read a couple verses here, and then we'll stop till next week and start there. The four great beasts came up from sea. Now, the first one here, it says, was like a lion. Like a lion. Now here, a lion is powerful, powerful beast of the forest, isn't it? And had eagle wings. I beheld to the wings thereof were plucked out, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given him. We'll try to explain some of this here in the Daniel explains it on over here in the next several verses down. He'll tell what these, some of this is, and we'll get into all that next week. But Daniel has a dream now. And like I say, the whole thing is all these powers, God's over all of them. And throughout the book, we'll see the kingdom is going to be set up.
Don't you think this is basically the same vision that John was given in the book of Revelation?
Could be. And we're going to see the saints here in verse 18 of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever. That's being in the church, isn't it? And when we're in the church and we're faithful, we're going to be in it forever in heaven someday. And here on earth now as the church. Okay, we'll start in chapter 7 next week. Lord willing. They go on that. I found out on the floor.
Yes, on the speaker.
On the floor.